Chapter 20. From Sas Sikili, Negotiator of Roche, to Boba Fett, Mandalore.
Mirkana has failed to respond. Because they have failed to respond, and we fear this will encourage others to ignore our patents, we request your support, so that the point may be made that we take our patents seriously. I would very much like to see the Besulik in action. Our metallurgists have been looking at ways to produce lighter Beskar structures, so when you pound the Mirkana factories to dust, we will be inspired to be more inventive. This is very good for business.
Jedi Temple, Coruscant. Luke met Jaina on the steps of the Jedi Temple. He was dashing out as she was dashing in. He caught her arm and steered her back down the path. "Where did she go, Jaina?"
"Uncle Luke, I swear I'm not covering for her. I don't know, and she's not answering any of her links. Why are you worried?"
Luke held the crumpled flimsy in his fist.
"Gone hunting for a few days."
Mara had signed out a Stealth X just after midnight 2 days before. He shoved the note in his pocket. The feeling of dread overwhelmed him. "Come on," he said. "I have to go look for her. Something's wrong. And Ben's gone, too. I've had the worst feeling. Like she's walking into a trap." Ben wasn't just missing. Luke could no longer feel him in the Force. And now he couldn't feel Mara. He'd called everyone, including Han and Leia, and he didn't criffing care if the GAG detained him for contacting Corellian agents with a warrant out for their arrest. He expected Jason to show up to issue a warning, but Neothel said Jason was away on business. The GAG Stealth X was gone again. The man came and went as he pleased, it seemed.
"I can imagine."
Jason was permanently invisible in the Force now, that was for sure. Luke hailed an air taxi, and they headed for Starfighter Command.
"I've spent more time there since I left the military than when I was in uniform," Jaina said.
"Can you feel her, Jaina? Can you feel Mara?" She looked slightly to one side of Luke, defocused, and shook her head slowly.
"Nothing."
"I haven't felt her now for hours." When they reached Starfighter Command, they headed for the chart room. Luke found that he could look at charts and pick up strong correlations in the Force, something Ben had proved to have a talent for, too. He stood in front of the banks of holocharts and tried to relax enough to let the Force steer his attention. He made an effort to put out of his mind where he thought she might have been heading. After a while, when the glowing lines and clusters of dots began to blur and lose their perspective, he found himself drawn to one sector in particular. "I'm sure she's in the Hapes cluster," he said at last. When Luke had first felt Mara drop out of the Force, it was so sudden and uncontrolled that he thought she'd been killed. It woke him in a panic. The 3 seconds of pure agonized paralysis lasted until she faded back in again. And again. And he worked out that she was doing it deliberately.
"Ironically, it would have been better if she'd taken a regular X-Wing," Jaina said. "The Starfighter techies say it's almost impossible to locate a Stealth X by any of the usual search methods."
She was right. Unless someone happened to eyeball 5-Alpha, or Mara had left a transponder or comlink active, the starfighter would simply vanish. A visual search was all that was left. That or finding Mara herself. Luke headed for the hangars, and Jaina followed.
"How do we recover Stealth X's that ditch, then?" Luke asked,
trying not to vent his frustration on hard-working ground crew. The technician stepped back from the starfighter.
"Rescue beacon, or the Mark I pall of smoke and flame, sir," he said warily. The GA asked INCOM to make them very hard to detect. And they did.
Okay, I'll stop harassing people with work to do and go out there myself.
Luke reminded himself that Mara was hunting Lumia, and so he had to expect her to use every trick in the book. That didn't stop him from worrying. After all, I'm the one who shook Lumia's hand, and not her throat. Then Mara was suddenly there, not just back in the Force, but magnifying her presence, as if she wanted to be found. She was defiant, unafraid, and spoiling for a fight. She'd found Lumia, all right.
Why's she doing that, though?
Jaina had her own hunt, for Alima. Now she was keen to help find Mara.
It's like she's taunting her.
Or she's in trouble, and she wants me to find her.
No.
Jaina closed her eyes for a moment, concentrating.
Doesn't feel like a call for help. Feels like a fight.
Luke decided to warn Tenel Ka that he was on his way, purely as a precaution. 18 standard hour transit. Given the number of planets in the Hapes cluster, it would probably take even the Hapens a lot longer than that to find a Stealth X. But the more eyes that were out looking for Mara, the better. Luke tried to appear casual as he climbed into his cockpit. Jaina stood looking up at him.
I know I'm officially out of the service, she said, but if someone authorizes it, I'm happy to join in. Please?
Luke gestured to the ground crew. Thanks.
It's Lumia we should be worrying about.
Jaina was trying to reassure him.
I can see Aunt Mara going in for braided scalps like Fett. Red ones. Does Lumia dye her hair, do you think? Will the stuff have icky gray roots?
Luke knew she was trying to make him laugh, and he tried to oblige. But just hearing the name Fett reminded him that pretty well every member of his family, Solos or Skywalkers, was at the top of someone's must-kill-today list. Luke didn't want or expect to be loved by everyone. He just wanted to wake up one morning and find his loved ones left alone to get on with their lives. When Mara came home, scalps or no scalps, war or no war, he was going to book a vacation for the two of them, somewhere soothingly uneventful. He balled the flimsy note she'd left for him and wedged it into a gap in the cockpit fascia. The Stealth X's drives whined into life. It wouldn't be Hesperidium, though. Cavan. Jason had expected to have to deal with an angry Mara after he killed Ben, not before. He was still looking for meanings and patterns in the events around him, and he now saw in himself a certain desperation to try whatever was placed in his path to see if that did the trick and sealed his Sith status. Will I notice? What does it feel like? How will I know? There had to be something that changed the fabric of the galaxy, a tipping point. Meanwhile, Mara was challenging him, pinpointing herself in the tunnels that ran deep under the Cavan countryside, thinking she was still an A-list assassin and that she could take someone who had complete mastery of the Force. She was a superb assassin, but her Force skills were crude compared to his. Once Jason removed her, it would be easier to deal with Ben. And Luke, he'd cross that bridge when he had to. Jason checked his belt, pockets, and holster, and decided to oblige Mara. Lumia and Ben seemed to be elsewhere, having their own showdown. Now it all fitted. Lumia had to be silenced for what she knew, and Ben would do it. It was tidy. It was a food chain. Jason loaded 4 poisoned darts into an adapted blaster and slipped the others into slots on his belt, wondering how he could think such things so calmly. He approached the tunnel mouth with slow care. While he could sense the layout, Mara had vanished from the force again. There was about 1 meter of headroom as he edged carefully along the central tunnel, and he could see horizontal shafts at about hip height branching off. It had been built to drain stormwater. In harsh winters, local Cavani had once made emergency homes down here. Jason stood and listened.
"Okay," he said. "I know you can hear me, Mara. You can still back out of this."
His voice echoed. There was no response, just as he expected. So he began walking deeper into the maze of drains, lightsaber in his right hand and blaster in the other. The only light around him now was a green haze from the glowing blade of energy.
"I could," he said quietly, "go back, block the entrance to this complex with flammable material, and set fire to it." She could hear him, all right. He could hear water dripping slowly deep in the tunnels. Sound was magnified, even if it was hard to pinpoint the origin. "And the fact that these tunnels have vents means the chimney effect would smoke you out, asphyxiate you, or barbecue you."
Silence. He held his breath, listening.
Crack!
His right knee exploded with blinding pain as Mara cannoned out horizontally, force assisted from a side conduit, and caught his leg on the joint with her boots, ripping the tendons. As he lost his footing in the narrow passage, screaming, he found himself wedged for a second and groping for support. He lashed out with his lightsaber, shaving powdery brick from the wall. Mara dropped to the muddy floor to dodge the lightsaber, then sprang up and sprinted away down the tunnel. It wasn't a good start. Jason swore and made himself run after her, willing endorphins to numb his leg and telling himself that he knew she was setting up a trap. She wanted him confined, pinned down, penned. If she thought tunnels would even the odds, she was wrong. He'd bury her here. Mara found the perfect trap at the end of one of the culverts. She could hear Jason's running footsteps, and she had a good 50 meters on him. From here, the vaulted ceiling became lower, and even Mara had to run at a crouch. It wasn't the place to swing a standard lightsaber. The tunnels were in poor condition, and the brick arches were starting to sag and collapse in places. So he wouldn't oblige her by revealing his physical position in the force. "Fine." She spotted a rusty metal sheet about 1/2 meter wide and laid it carefully across the tunnel floor, propped on stones so he'd tread on it and give her an audible warning when he reached that point. An intense force shake of the brickwork and arches in front and behind the metal plate weakened them, and then she stopped them from collapsing by force pressure. "Hold him up. Wait for him to hit that plate." Going after Jason would never work. He could never be allowed to set the agenda. He could come after her. Trap, immobilize, kill. It wasn't pretty, and it wouldn't capture the public's imagination like a lightsaber display at the academy, but her training was in destruction. Jason's was in deception. She could hear him breathing, and the irregular vzm, vzm, vzm of his lightsaber as he stalked, jumping and turning to be sure she wasn't behind him. Then she could hear that he wasn't swinging the blade so much. The short staccato hums and buzzes told her he was running out of room.
She was trapped too, of course, unless she counted the ventilation shafts every 50 meters. But when she said she was leaving here over his dead body, she meant it. She felt the beginning of a compassionate human thought about Leia, but killed it stone dead. It would weaken her. Jason's boots crunched over bricks. He was impatient. She was in his way, holding him up when he wanted to get on with something. Crunch. 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 If she'd timed it right, he was close to stepping on that rusty plate.
Clang!
The rumbling began. She brought down both sections of tunnel, before and behind, with a massive exertion in the force that made her breathless. She didn't hear him call out. Even in the damp conditions, clouds of fine debris filled the air and made her choke. Mara waited, one hand over her mouth and nose, Shoto drawn, and listened in the force. There was whimpering, and the chunk-chunk sound of the last falling bricks. She didn't expect that weight of debris from a low ceiling to cause impact injury, but to engulf and immobilize him. He wouldn't be dead. Yet. She waited in silence, a non-existent presence herself, until she could hear no more movement.
Okay. Let's see what I have to do to end this.
An arm was all that protruded from the rubble. Through a fist-sized gap, she could see the wet, blinking glint of an eye and blood-stained face. A hand reached out to her, fingers splayed, bloody and shaking. Other people might have felt an urge to take that hand, the most distinctively human of things. But it was an old, tired Sith stunt, and she'd used it herself too many times. She took her blaster and leveled it at the eye, one-handed, forefinger resting on the trigger. She had the Shoto ready in case a coup de grace was called for. She felt as detached and steady as she'd ever been as the Emperor's hand.
"Tell my mom I'm sorry I failed her,"
Jason whispered.
"She knows,"
Mara said, and squeezed the trigger.